This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:07 in the morning, Monday the 11th of November. And taking a look at Asian markets on Friday, they closed mostly lower. The outlier here was Japan's Nikkei, which was up 0.3%, because the Hang Seng, the Shanghai Composite and Singapore's STI were all down between 0.5% and 0.7%. Our KLCI, meanwhile, closed relatively flat, rising marginally by 0.02%.
Yawn.
Such a fascinating day, isn't it?
Yes. Meanwhile, in US, markets actually closed in the green. The Dow closed pretty much unchanged, slightly by 0.02%. Also another yawn day for them. S&P 500 up 0.3%, while the Nasdaq was higher, up 0.5%.
So joining us on the line for some thoughts on global markets, we have with us this morning Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist for AxiTrader. Thank you for joining us, Stephen. Now, US equities once again hit record highs last week as investors shifted from Treasury debt to equity after last week's rate cut from the Fed, as well as better than expected corporate earnings. But is this shift in asset allocation temporary, or in your view, or will investors continue to hedge their bets?
Oh, it's quite interesting because I think it's all getting built around dissipating uncertainties. Certainly on the monetary policy front, the Feds have taken away the possibility of a near-term rate hike completely out of the equation. The market's sort of, you know, surrounding itself around that narrative. But also, we seem to have less tailwinds associated with the U.S.-China trade talks, although it's going to be a bumpy ride. We know that the headlines are continue to point to some type of detente. Of course, we've got the Brexit bedlam that has settled down completely. So if we look at things in a correlation basis, we're more or less just moved back to where we were on July. So really, I think there is still some room for equity markets to grow, especially as the data, economic data, which really is the key, starts to stabilize. We're starting to see improvements, not only U.S. economy, but Europe and also China. We've had some pretty decent data coming out of China, which is buttressing Asian risk sentiment. So I think things are looking a little bit more favorable at this point in the year than what they did even 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And Stephen, you mentioned Brexit, but Moody has changed their outlook on the UK's current rating from stable to negative on concerns of high public debt and also the prospects of a no-deal Brexit. Do you share these same concerns, and what's your view on the UK economy and the pound?
Sort of telling us something we didn't already know, you know, after being maligned for two years plus in the Brexit bedlam, I pretty much expected that the UK is going to go on a spend to dig themselves out of this economic malaise. I'm not sure how reckless the abandonment will be, but I'm sure it's just certainly going to supersede fiscal prudence. And I think this is the point that the Moody's is driving home here. Sure, it's going to affect bond ratings, but really, who cares? I mean, the point here is that we're getting to a point where we've eliminated the biggest tail risk of Brexit, and that's a no deal. And that is significantly important. And as we can see by the pound's reaction today, it's held very strongly to the support. In fact, it barely blinked an eye, suggesting to me, from a currency perspective anyway, that currency traders still rather optimistic on the pound going forward.
And now, Stephen, on to two large upcoming IPOs. Now, Saudi Aramco has released its prospectus over the weekend, and Alibaba has unveiled plans for a secondary listing in Hong Kong at the end of this month. What are your thoughts on both?
I don't want to sound overly negative, but I think Aramco is a great company. But of course, if I had to buy like a volatile asset backed by oil, we've seen the up and down oil market these days, I probably want to be buying it at much lower valuations. And the other problem I have is somehow I feel Aramco's interests aren't necessarily aligned with investors, more so than they are with funding Saudi Arabia. That's the one concern I have there. Hong Kong, the Alibaba issue IPO, well, that's an interesting timing again, because it got delayed previously because of the uproars that are happening every weekend in Hong Kong. But equity markets have buttressed perhaps along the lines of supportive global central bank backstops, along with the kind of a trade detente happening here. So I think this could be also a move by mainland to sort of build a bridge building attempt, you know, to buttress Hong Kong's economy and at least add some credibility to the IPO landscape that, you know, they're still open for business.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen. And that was Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific market strategist for Axie Trader. And interesting point he made there, that this could be a push to kind of build bridges and mend ties a little bit once again between the mainland and Hong Kong.
Yeah, and also add some excitement to the capital markets in Hong Kong, because it's been a quiet year actually for them. I mean, they had that Anheuser-Busch IPO,
AB InBev.
Okay. Alphabet soup there, guys. Yeah, that was the big IPO. And this is the Alibaba is the next one, which was actually rumored to be delayed, but looks like it's being launched. I mean, it's going to be launched on November the 11th. And they're using the Singles Day sales as a springboard to stir interest for its listing hearing. Now, if the listing hearing, which is a prerequisite for companies making their debut on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, is successful, the deal could price as soon as end of next week.
Yeah, so this is a secondary listing, because Alibaba did first list it on the New York Stock Exchange in 2014. And they're hoping that the warm glow of all the anticipated record sales today will manage to sway sentiment in its favour during the Hong Kong listing hearing next week. At least this is according to sources quoted by the Financial Times. Now, 11/11, or Singles Day, is the biggest e-commerce sales day of the year. And we talked about this a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour, basically that it is in no small part driven by Wang Xiaoning herself, and last year consumers spent about $45 billion on goods and services in a 24-hour period, according to McKinsey. Alibaba alone booked sales of more than $30 billion, and they're expecting to see that record broken this year.
Yeah, I want to see the final details, and also to see who else participated in this Singles Day other than Alibaba, because you do see brick and mortar companies, retailers jumping on the bandwagon, and also other e-commerce platforms like the likes of Zalora, Lazada in this region anyway. So let's, you know, I think this is something that will really change the retail landscape globally. And then Stephen also commented on Ramco. Now, they finally published their long-awaited prospectus for the IPO, tipped to be the largest on record. But what is really, really unusual about this is that we have no details on the number of shares offered.
So still very hush-hush.
Yes, no details on the price range and no date given for the listing. So this prospectus, which I'm sure is at least 1,000 pages long, has a lot of details, but not the key information that perhaps you would want as an investor.
Maybe, I guess this is a ploy to drum up interest as well, maybe, because the valuations were slightly below what was initially desired, because they were initially wanting a $2 trillion valuation. Realistically, as we've seen some predictions come in, it's going to be more in the range of $1.5 to $1.8 trillion. So maybe this is just a tactic to whet investor appetite.
Well, as it typically is quite unusual. I mean, I'm surprised there's no range, but of course, this is a book building exercise. So as the book building exercise happens, which is between November 17 to December 4th, there will be some price discovery action, which means that as they go around marketing to key institutional or large size funds, they may get some feedback from these investors as to what is the accepted price range for this Aramco share. And maybe then we will know the details, and the final date of pricing will only be on December 5th. From what I gather, it's also they're promising at least $75 billion US dollars in the form of dividends to incentivize or to get institutional shareholders to take up the stock. Because as Stephen mentioned earlier, right, this is oil. This is a very volatile game. Mm-hmm. And there are questions whether the shareholders' interest will be something that Aramco will be protecting, because sometimes there isn't that alignment, you know.
Yeah, the question is whether or not the high risk associated with Aramco is actually going to be worth whatever the valuations that they are looking for. But right now we are heading into a few messages, and then after that we'll be back to take a look at some local stories for you, including at our food security. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.